This episode of the Health Mastery Cafe is brought to you by Prevent Clinic. Next on the Health Mastery Cafe.
The GLPs are back in the news.
We see that trend gets ahead of science.
I want to add something to the conversation.
There's never going to be a weight that the patient will be satisfied in.
These BMIs are 22, 18.
Why? Because they all of a sudden get a lot of attention, people. They're sometimes praised for their rapid weight loss.
Everybody's talking about the shortage of Ozempic and Wegovy.
Everybody comments one way or another on their body.
On this special episode of the Health Mastery Cafe,
they have a distorted perception of their body.
Everybody's got a body, and I know bodies.
Everybody's got a body, and I know bodies. Living in this body is something that we've got to do every single day, so we may as well master it. I'm your host, the Good Dr. Dave, and this is a special episode of the Health Mastery Cafe. Today, we're going to dive back into the GLPs. You know them, Ozempic, Wegovy, Mounjaro, Zepbound. We've been talking about them a lot, but I want us to look through a different lens today and think about this in maybe a way that we haven't. I want to add to the conversation on this episode of the Health Mastery Cafe.
Hey, it's Dr. Contessa, and you are watching the Health Mastery Cafe with Dr. Dave.
So we've looked at this. Aliza and I looked at this. My producer looked at this, and we found that over 50% of the prescriptions that were written were off-label. What does that mean? Off-label means that it doesn't meet the criteria that the FDA set, that the FDA approved the medicines for. Here are the criteria. One, that you're obese, which means it's a body mass index or BMI greater than 30. All of those people qualify or meet the indications criteria for the medicine. The second one is that you don't have to be obese. You can be overweight with a BMI of 27, but you've got to have something else. You've got to have another risk factor plus a BMI of 27, and you meet the criteria. The FDA statistics show that 51% of Americans qualify, meet the criteria for the medicine. But why the big shortage then? And the controversy is this, that people that do not meet that criteria are actually getting the medicine and maybe getting more of the medicine than they should. Now, here is another rough estimate. We were looking at this, trying to dig up the evidence on this, and it's not really clear yet, but I will tell you that a large percentage of people who are getting the prescriptions don't meet the criteria. Now, there's a lot of ridicule in social media and otherwise about these people. They are getting disparaging comments, and I can understand the sentiment there. I really do understand people who say, for example, I have diabetes and I've been taking it for 10 years. Remember, these medicines aren't new. I've been taking it for 10 years. Now I can't find it because people who don't meet the criteria are actually getting the prescription from their doctors and taking the medicine. And I know that there's many different comments for that. And I'm actually interested in your comments. Go ahead and put your comments down there. Let's keep this dialogue going about what you think about people who don't have a high BMI, who don't qualify for the trial, that get the medicines. I want us to look at this a slightly different way and consider something that perhaps you've not considered. I talked to a board-certified psychiatrist. Her name is Yalda Safai. And she gave us a perspective that I don't think is out there. I want you to listen to her.
People that I mentioned, the ones that are not overweight, but still want to lose weight, I understand, but I do have a little bit of reservation about those class of people in particular. People who are not overweight, but want to lose weight, sometimes have body image issues, like I mentioned. For those people, losing a significant amount of weight very fast that comes with these classes of medications can be very intoxicating. Why? Because they all of a sudden get a lot of attention, people. They're sometimes praised for their rapid weight loss. Everybody comments one way or another on their body. So it's intoxicating, they feel good, but eventually that feel goodness levels off. So that intoxication that they would experience from the attention they were getting somehow levels off. They're not getting it anymore, and they start craving it in other ways. And this is basically what I'm seeing in my practice. Okay, I'm not, you know, yeah. I don't want to generalize, sure. But this is what I'm seeing, and that's where the problem arises. Then there's this pressure to maintain weight, not gain weight, so they're constantly in this anxious state to remain skinny, to not go back to the, you know, the weight that they used to be, even though they probably looked fine, even though they probably weren't overweight. But there's constant anxiety. There's the addictive potential to stay skinny by doing excessive measures, extreme diets, or extreme exercises. And, you know, that can tip over to the eating disorder status. So my concern is for that group. And that's why we do have guidelines about who qualifies for this medication and who doesn't. Albeit people can always buy it off the streets from other countries. We know that. But for those class of people, because I think they're already dealing with body image issues, and people who deal with body image issues, such as, you know, body dysmorphia, no matter how thin they might be, they still might think, you know, they're overweight, right? So it's not about what the scale says. It's about their perception of how they view themselves. So Ozempic or not, 10 pounds, 20 pounds skinnier or not, they still might feel like they need more work to do. So my concern is for that population.
So that's a different perspective, isn't it? Think about this. Obesity is a bona fide disease. We've said this now, and I think people get it. It is a neurologic disease, endocrine disease. It is a musculoskeletal disease. It's a cardiovascular disease. Obesity is a disease. But the people who are taking this medicine, who want the medicine, whose BMIs are 22, 18, right? Normal BMIs, and they want this medicine, and they think that they should have the medicine, may themselves have a disorder. And to disparage somebody, whether that disorder is, you know, a physical disorder like diabetes or hypertension or a stroke, or whether that's a mental health disorder, we should not be disparaging people. I want you to understand that body dysmorphia is a real thing. And she defined that for us on the episode that we talked about this. We were on with Dr. Contessa from Married to Medicine and Dr. Yalda Safai. I want you to hear how she defined it. One more time, I want you to hear how she defined body dysmorphia.
Sure. You know, originally this term was coined to describe distortions in perception about facial features. So people thought their nose was way too big or their ears were way too big. Body wasn't much of an issue, really. It started out with facial features, and that's the textbook definition of it. But throughout the years, we started noticing a lot of people have developed problems with their body now. They think their, you know, arms are too big or their thighs are too big, and trends have, you know, influenced this significantly. So the definition of it now, in a cultural sense, it involves majority of the body, and it's basically a distortion of perception.
If you are, and this is for our healthcare colleagues, if you prescribe a GLP-1 receptor agonist to somebody with body dysmorphia, bona fide body dysmorphia, what's the risk there? What can happen to that person?
The risk is there's never going to be an end goal. There's never going to be a weight that the patient will be satisfied in. They have a distorted perception of their body. No matter how skinny they are, they're still going to think that there's something missing and they need to lose more weight. That's the reality. It's not about the number on the scale. It's that their perception is distorted.
And to your point, the people who, to, you know, other outside observers would look to have a normal body weight, let's say, it really doesn't matter what everybody else thinks. If that person has the thought, the perception, the idea about him or herself that they are overweight. You know, and here's the other part, everybody. Listen, these medicines are not for everybody. You'll hear me say this over and over again. One size doesn't fit all. I will tell you that there are some really gruesome side effects for some people. And I have patients in my practice who have had some really serious side effects from this. So I don't want you to think that you can just go into taking these medicines lightly. You can't just say, oh, let me just try it. You got to be thinking that there may be something in your health profile that would make you or exclude you from taking it. I want a few of those to be at the top of our minds. The first one is women who could be pregnant or are pregnant. Don't even touch it, right? It's not safe by any means, okay? It can harm the baby and it can harm you. The second one are people who have active mental health disorders. For example, major depression, bipolar disorder, suicidal ideation or suicidal attempts. You should not take them. And the reason is because weight loss drugs, not just these GLPs, we're talking about weight loss drugs just in general, have carried with them this increased risk of suicidal ideation and actual attempts to commit suicide and worsening depression. So I want you to be thinking about this and advocate for yourself. And then there's a third class, and that third group are people who have thyroid cancers or family history of thyroid cancers or a condition that includes thyroid cancers. There's a condition called MEN, men, or multiple endocrine neoplasia. If you have this in your family or you have been diagnosed with it, don't take them. It's not worth it.
Next on the Health Mastery Cafe.
We're gonna touch on the compound world, which is where people are getting it when they are 22, 23, 24 BMIs. They're getting it from the compound world. We're gonna talk about how we don't know what that little adjustment they made in the compounded formulation, what that's going to do to your body long-term. The patented compound already has a high side effect profile. The data show on the paper, the weight loss paper, 74% of people will have GI side effects.
I think it's really important to be as transparent as possible. The media has a strong role in this about what the side effect profile for the medication like this is for people who don't need it. You and I both know that when we make a decision to prescribe a medication, we weigh the risks versus the benefits. If the benefits outweigh the risks, you go ahead and prescribe it. This is how what I do in my practice every day. So for a person who has a BMI of 20, the risks of taking this medication far outweighs the benefits. So I think it comes down to an education issue. These class of medications that are being used for weight loss are a little bit new. Right now, a lot of times we see that trend gets ahead of science. It's really concerning. So I think it just comes down to health literacy for the population as a whole.
Are there things that you get concerned about with the psychological adverse effects of the GLP?
There's been a lot of headlines in the news about research about risk of depression, risk of suicidal ideations with some of these medications. I know one of them more than the other. And that's something that, again, we have to weigh the risks versus the benefits. And very important, like I said, to have support during this process. So if psychological side effects do arise when someone's undergoing treatment, that it is addressed as soon as possible so it doesn't advance to something more serious.
When you stop the medication, for example, the abdominal pain goes away. When you stop the medication, the vomiting goes away. Do we know so far if you stop these GLP-1 agonists in people who begin to be more depressed and have suicidality, does that go away the same?
Here's the thing though, if someone develops suicidal thoughts, suicidal intent, while they're on the medication, they might not have time to stop the medication. You know, things might progress. The ultimate tragedy might happen before they even have a chance to go to their doctor and stop the medication. So I think, you know, it doesn't matter because this is, like you said, first of all, depression doesn't go away that simply. And if they're truly, the depression progressed to the point where they're suicidal, then we might be out of time already.
There are some other people who have relative contraindications, and all of those are sort of outlined online, and I'll put a link down below in the description for you. I want you to be really informed before you do this. That's what I want. And I want you to go to your doctor and advocate for yourself, not just to get a prescription, but to advocate to see if that prescription is right for you. We found some interesting statistics. Here's what it showed. 51% of all U.S. adults qualify for this medicine. That means that they're either overweight and have a condition or obese, okay? So here's the stats that shine a light on us a little bit more. So we drill down into race. 56% of blacks qualify for the medicines. 55% of Hispanics qualify for the medicines. 20% of Asians qualify for the medicines. And 50% of whites qualify for these medicines. Now, here's what my producer found. 65% of all of the prescriptions of GLPs are not, you know, evenly distributed, but in fact, that 65% of those prescriptions are going to whites, 14% of those prescriptions are going to Hispanics, and then about 21% are going to blacks. Now, those are estimates. So we are obviously missing Asians in there, but I wanted to kind of highlight that there is this disproportionate usage of it. And part of the disproportionate access to the medicine has to do with socioeconomics. If you are not gainfully employed, you can't spend $1,000 a pop on this stuff. That's at least what it costs. Somewhere between $1,000 and $1,400 per dose. There's four doses a month. I mean, tell me how many people have $4,000 a month to buy this medicine. Not very many people can do that. Right? If you have if you've got gainful employment, you've probably got, you know, employer-backed insurance, medical insurance. And if you got employer-backed medical insurance, you could likely afford these medicines. So, and the last and the most important piece is if you're going to take these medicines, you got to be using a combination of therapies. Now, listen, nobody is saying, hey, go pull yourself up by your bootstraps. I can't believe that you are obese. I can't believe that you don't just eat less and move more. We know how complex it is. But it doesn't mean not to eat less and move more. At the end of the day, it's still calories in minus calories out. Now, I want to define this because everybody gets all kind of charged up about this. Thermodynamics is the law that explains weight loss. And it doesn't matter how you come to weight loss, it has to go through that gate. You have to have a calorie deficit in order to lose weight. The GLPs help people in three ways. Turns off their appetite, stops the stomach from emptying as much, and then helps them digest things in the stomach, right? And particularly glucose, right? With insulin. At the end of the day, at the end of the week, at the end of the quarter, they have more calories out than they have in, okay? So that's basic science, okay? So the scientists are happy that I said that. But the people who are going through this every day don't see it as cleanly, and I understand why. It takes more than just calculating your calories in and calories out to lose weight. And nobody's saying, hey, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. But what I am saying is you can't just say, I've tried to pull myself up by my bootstraps, and so I'm not going to try to exercise and diet anymore because it's always failed. That's not going to work. And here's why. When it's time to stop the medicine, whenever that is, and you know, there's a lot of talk about this. Oh, you know, some people will be on it for a lifetime, right? Because the physiology is still there for a lifetime. The physiology that makes them obese, right? Some people have been obese for a really long time, right? So I get it. But you still should be trying to exercise and eat the right foods because there's more than just weight that that is affected by exercise. Exercise is longevity. The more you exercise, the better you sleep, right? The more exercise you do, the less likely heart disease and cancers and different things like that. But I also want you to understand that your food choices are important. And just because you're on this medicine, Dr. Contessa Medcalf said this, just because you're on this medicine and you're eating a whole lot less doesn't mean you should put garbage in. You literally are what you eat. You become what you eat. The chemicals break down and they go into your cellular makeup. You become what you eat. You don't want to eat garbage because you will become garbage. You don't want to eat cheap because you'll become cheap. You don't want to eat processed because you'll be processed. I'm not processed. So go find an exercise program because if you don't use it, you lose it. Who wants to lose it at 55? Nobody. Go find an exercise program because it's more than just a beauty contest. Number two, you have to find the right foods because you literally are what you eat. And although the GLPs will literally cajole, force your body to eat less, if you eat less but it's still garbage, you become garbage. Literally, you increase your risk for all kinds of other things that have nothing to do with your weight, obesity, or the things that come from obesity. Go find an improved diet. And if you have to get help to do that, let's go out and get some help. It's important. It's just that important. Dr. Yalda Safai asked us to really think about this for this reason. Listen to her.
Also, I've seen a lot of people who might have been obese who go on these drugs, have rapid weight loss, but don't know how to maintain it. They don't have support during this process. They don't know what a good nutrition is. They don't, you know, I think it's very essential during this whole process to have support in the terms of nutrition, exercise, how to maintain a healthy weight, not just give a medication and let them go loose, so to speak. I think that's where it's lacking. And a lot of people, I mean, the research has shown that they might gain the weight back. And I just think that it boils down to not having proper education about now what? Now that I've lost the weight, then what? How do I keep it? How do I change my lifestyle? How do I make sure I'm healthy? How do I make sure I'm exercising? So that's an important point to keep in mind.
Thank you again for spending so much time with me.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for tuning in to the Health Mastery Cafe again. Listen, as I always say, there's nothing more important than your health. Now go master it.